All right, the next matter is Helm v. Helm. Again, the next matter is Helm v. Helm. You may approach.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
I'm Kelly Collison, and I'm here representing Harold Helm, who is the appellant in this matter.
We are appealing today a decision from the District Court of Starkey County, the Honorable Stephanie Martinez presiding.
Mr. Helm was seeking the consent of the District Court for the consent of the court for the adoption of his minor children by his current wife as a step-parent adoption. The District Court denied the consent, having found that Mr. Helm did not meet his burden of proof and did not show that the children had been abandoned. It's our position today that the court should not have been considering the issue of abandonment, as that is a matter that is exclusively up to the discretion of the county court in matters of adoption, and that the court thereby abused its discretion in hearing any testimony with respect to the issues of abandonment, and should have granted the motion of the appellant based on the allegations set forth in that motion.
Ms. Olson, what is the burden of proof in seeking a consent judgment?
The case law and the statutes don't really set forth what it is. And so part of the reason why we're here today is we would like some clarification on that. The law that's set forth in Klein says that the court has two opportunities to influence a consent. They can decide first based on experience and knowledge that they have in the district court proceeding involving the dissolution, they can deny the consent based on that. So if a parent were to be found unfit or they have some unique information because they were involved in the dissolution proceedings, they can deny the consent based on that. Or they have a unique opportunity to grant the consent and send information down to the county court that they're, again, uniquely aware of because of the dissolution proceeding as part of their consent. But that's really all we know from the Klein decision.
So in a situation like this, where Judge Martinez was not the judge who presided over the divorce, she's without ability to deny the consent because she doesn't fit into either of those listed factors?
Correct.
Is that what we're left with?
Yes. With what we have in the law, that would be our position, is that based on the allegations, there's jurisdiction for her to make a decision because there's a divorce. We know that the court has jurisdiction, ongoing jurisdiction of the children, and that in order to have the county court make determinations on the adoption, make determinations on abandonment, and make determinations for those children, we need to have the district court's consent for the county court to make those determinations. And so, yes, that would be our position, is that because she didn't have any unique knowledge of the prior proceedings, that there should not have been any reason for her not to grant the consent in this particular case.
So when it comes to consents, the default is for the district court to grant it unless one of those two options, or one of those two reasons that he sets forth applies.
That's always been my practice. that's been my understanding, and that's been how it's worked in the past.
The court has discretion or not, then?
I believe the court has discretion based on those two situations that are
limited to those two, just limited to those two situations. I mean, for example, in this case, if there's evidence that the father was frustrating the mother's ability to have contact with the child, and if a district court, who has the priority jurisdiction in this instance, right, because the district court has to get consent in order for the adoption to proceed. So they have priority jurisdiction. They have before them evidence that there's been a frustration of parenting time between the mother and the child. Can't that district court, on that basis, deny?
Judge Bishop, in that case, I think that goes into the issue of abandonment. That would be first on the county court level.
How is frustrating parenting time abandonment?
Because when the county court petition for adoption would be filed, it would be alleged in the county court petition that there's been abandonment. And at that point, the mother would be served with the petition, and the allegations of abandonment then would be heard in front of the county court who has the exclusive jurisdiction. And if at that point there has been frustration of efforts on the part of the mom, I think that the county court is the proper court to hear that issue because they're the ones that are hearing that abandonment, have the exclusive right to hear that abandonment. So I think that the frustration issue comes in on the abandonment issue because she didn't actually abandon if those levels or those efforts of hers have been frustrated. I think that that's something, though, that should be left up to the county court once that abandonment allegation has been made.
Isn't the idea that a district court, in particular, if they've had experience with a couple, right, through the divorce, that's not this instance, but if they have that experience and they're aware of past issues that have developed between the pair, isn't the whole idea of this notion that the district court has to give consent, that they can consider those factors and that they should be able to make a decision whether this should be moved into adoption, for a county court then to consider further some of those other elements. But otherwise, it's just a check the box. If somebody asks the district court to consent, it sounds like they should have to consent. And there's no real discretion other than those two very limiting circumstances you described.
Correct. I mean, that is what I believe to be the current case law, is that outside of the two limited circumstances, and I do think that, Judge Bishop, what you're saying falls within one of those circumstances, which is that first circumstance where the court has unique information about the parties and thereby can deny their consent. So in this particular case, however, Judge Martinez did not have information about this case outside of the proceeding on the consent because she hadn't heard this case previously. So any information that she had been receiving, Judge Bishop, was as a result of the motion that was filed. So her unique information was as a result of that and not from prior proceedings. So while I agree with you that, yes, in that particular case, maybe the district court's unique information comes from proceedings that have happened in the past and ongoing proceedings, but that wasn't the case in this particular instance because Judge Martinez, this was her first enlightenment with this case.
Also, you'd agree then that the court's not limited to just the record before it with respect to the motion for consent. That judge can look back from the beginning of time and acquire jurisdiction in anything that took place during the course of the entirety of that time in determining whether or not to grant consent. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, I believe that they could, yes.
Judge Martinez, even if she wasn't live testimony, she could go back and look at the record, at least with respect to anything that had taken place as it relates to determining whether or not to grant consent?
I believe that the case law says having heard the or having been involved, but I don't know the specifics on what the case law says with respect to that. Whether it says they can go back and look at all the proceedings or whether it was having been involved in the proceedings, how you have particular information. Right.
But didn't Judge Martinez say that during the hearing, having looked at the record, I don't see anything?
Yes. Further questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
Good morning. May it please the court? Your Honor, my name is Robin Binney. I represent the appellee in this action. Your Honor, from an appellee's perspective, the case is pretty simple. What has happened here is the appellant, Mr. Helen Ross's motion to the district court for permission to adopt, asking for two things in his prayer for relief. First thing, ask the district court to find that his former wife, Ashley Helen, had abandoned the children. Second thing, ask for child support to come to an end if the consent was granted by the district court. That's it. That's all that's asked in the prayer for relief. And in the first judgment that they took, which was ultimately vacated, that was all that was set forth in that judgment, is that Ms. Helm abandoned her children. That judgment was vacated. Now, the appellant's position was very clear. Appellant wanted the district court to make a ruling about abandonment and find that consent was not necessary because abandonment occurred. That's what the evidence was that they presented at time of the evidentiary hearing. The problem, of course, is that the district court is barred from considering the issue of abandonment. That's what Judge Martinez found. I'm barred from considering that. That's all that you asked me for. I can't rule in your favor. End of case. So as we look at this,
so they can just refile it and say, we just want your consent.
They certainly could have refiled it and done things differently, but they chose not to. They chose to proceed in the Court of Appeals. Now, what we have...
I just want to backtrack a little bit. On the consent judgment, the court did grant consent to move forward with the adoption. So the issue was before the court on whether consent should be granted.
Court didn't grant consent, its consent.
Initially.
Initially, yes, ma'am. Yes.
On the one that was vacated.
Yes, Judge Reisman, they did.
Okay, so the court knew. I mean, this was a repeat of that motion because of the service issue for lack of service.
It was a repeat of that motion because of the service issue and, I believe, an error on the district court's part in their original judgment, yes. And that, of course, that was vacated. Now on appeal, Mr. Helm brings up several different points. He brings up in brief that in his testimony, the district court could have granted its consent to proceed in the county court based on other facts. This was brought up on appeal. That was based on his testimony that his current wife wants to adopt the children. That was one of the things that that appellant set forth could have been used in the brief. They set it forth that could have been used had to give the district court jurisdiction to find in their favor. Also, argued in brief that the children lived with Harold and his current wife for a period of 6 months, and that Harold's current wife is a fit and proper person. If this is the standard that this court wants to adopt, then we are opening the floodgates. We are opening the floodgates to every individual that goes through a divorce, is granted custody of the children, remarries, and would like to have his then-spouse adopt.
Certainly understand your concerns, but it sounds like a number of the issues that you're describing could be addressed at the county court level as a challenge to the adoption proceeding.
And it is possible if we want to go that far.
Right, no, I understand. And so let's go to the... back to where I was talking to Ms. Thompson about. Thus, the district court had discretion at a hearing on a motion for consent to go ahead and consider new evidence then with regard to, like in this case, that there may have been some frustration of parenting time.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that they do. Under the Robbins case, we have got some guidance. Under the Robbins case, the court found that there are two areas that the district court has jurisdiction. First of all, concerning the status of the marriage. Secondly, concerning the custody and support of children. Entirely district court issues. It is a very, very small step to say, if we say status of the marriage, we also are talking about the status of the divorce and the orders that the court may have entered, its own orders, with regards to a divorce proceedings, all status of the marriage, all something that is allowed under the Robbins case. I believe the court would be very much within its purview to consider both of those. As we look at the status of the divorce, then we come in to something that was very obvious in the evidentiary hearing. We don't need to look very far except to the decree itself. And the decree sets out specific items, specific things that the appellee was entitled to do that were obviously frustrated by the appellant because he testified to it in open court repeatedly, and the record does show that.
So your position is that the primary authority should rest with the district court who previously adjudicated the parties with regard to dissolution or paternity or whatever, has experience with those parties, right? that court should have that initial determination, and that giving consent should mean something. It's not just checking a box. You've been here, now I know this is moving to county court, so I've lost jurisdiction over custody once this happens.
That would be our position, Judge Fish. Yes.
And is it your understanding that our standard of review in this then would be to review for an abuse of discretion by the district court in its decision to deny consent?
That would be our position, yes, Your Honor.
Can you address then how Smith plays into your position?
Smith points out that the factors are not enumerated, that we don't have a checklist.
Right.
We can't go by a checklist. We haven't got factors that are laid out to us that are clear for us to address these issues. It would be nice if we did, and we could go through and check the boxes. They did this, they did that, they did this, but we don't have that luxury at this point. What we have is the Robbins case. And what we have in the Robbins case is a way for the district court and an obligation on the part, we represent this court, an obligation for the district court to look at the status of that marriage, the status of the divorce, and its own order in giving this consent.
So, did the district court learn something during the dissolution or the dealing with these people in either the paternity action or the dissolution action that would cause it concern and deny its consent, or did it learn something that it wants to share with the family court and still grant its consent? Isn't that what it tells us?
That is what it does lay out, yes, Your Honor. However,
what does Judge Martinez know about this case that fits into one of those two?
When we look at this case, we look at the decree. And in the decree, it's very, very specific. It lays out with specificity that the appellee, Ms. Helm, would have the right, an open right, to call her children, every day. And that couldn't be interfered with. However, that was barred to her, and the evidence came before Judge Martinez that was barred repeatedly in conflict with the district court's order.
Had she ever brought a contempt action?
No, a contempt action was not brought.
And these issues were brought to Judge Martinez under the consent motion, correct?
Yes, Judge.
Not in her role as the dissolution or the custody issues. Because she didn't hear those issues.
She didn't hear those particular issues on the dissolution case.
Correct.
When the dissolution was granted. No, those had arguably not taken place at that point in time. Arguably would have taken place after the decree was entered.
So the evidence that she's receiving is on the motion for consent for custody, correct?
Yes.
Which would be the same evidence that the county court was here on the abandonment issue, correct?
It would be similar evidence. However, one thing that is very prime to Judge Martinez's consideration would be the status of the marriage and the district court's own order. And as was pointed out, the violation of that order bringing the matter before the court on the adoption issue.
Ms. Binning, I'm sure it's in your brief, but do you happen to have the citation for the Robbins case that you talked about? If you don't, it's no problem.
Well, I do, Your Honor, if you give me a moment, it is set out in my brief.
Don't worry about it. I'd rather you use your time if you have any final comments to make.
Your Honor, if you have no further questions, the only comments that I would make to the court are that the district court acted entirely properly. The only thing that was before that court was the issue of abandonment. And if we cut off the obvious elephant in the room, the absence of guidelines, if we cut that off and we simply look at what was before Judge Martinez, what was before her was the issue of abandonment, which she could not address.
Well, can I follow up with that? So, with respect to that, if it's a motion for consent, doesn't that trigger the judge's obligation to look over the course of the entire period of time they've had jurisdiction and make the determination whether to grant consent or not, or is the judge completely limited to what's pled with respect to the motion?
I think the judge can look over the entire time. However, as the as Mr. Helm came before the court, he told the court specifically what he wanted. Now, could the court look at the entire history? Certainly. Could the court enlarge upon what Mr. Helm has specifically asked for, being a finding of abandonment? We don't believe so.
Does he not also, though, in his motion, plead numerous things about his wife and that she is a fit and proper person for the adoption?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Absolutely he does. However, I would point out to the court that although he does this, this is what my initial remarks were. This opens the floodgate to every single divorce where someone is granted custody and would like their former spouse to now be the primary parent, be the custodial parent, be able to adopt. We cannot do that. That does away with the quasi-constitutional right here in the state of Nebraska. Never was the intent of the law when we would present to the court.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. How much time does Ms. Tolleson have for rebuttal?
Your Honor, I would strongly disagree with the characterization that the efforts were frustrated by Mr. Helm. The record is very clear, and I don't think that this is what we're here on, but the appellee was addicted to methamphetamines and still addicted to methamphetamines and had not seen her children nor complied with any of the provisions of the order or the decree in order to see her children.
So I understand the frustrations with regard to the parenting circumstances here. And Ms. Thompson, how can we say that the district court abused its discretion in making this decision?
The district court abused its discretion in taking testimony on the abandonment issue over the objection of the counsel, the current counsel of Mr. Helm at that time. They did rule that Mr. Helm did not meet his burden of proof as far as abandonment was concerned. It's my position that the issue of abandonment should not have been ruled on by the district court at all. It's the exclusive right of the county court, jurisdiction of the county court, to make those determinations. That also abused its discretion in that the consent motion set forth the jurisdictional requirements needed in order to ask that court for consent. It set forth that there is a decree of dissolution entered. It set forth that Mr. Helm was married. It set forth that Ms. Helm was a fit and proper person to adopt the minor child, and that there was going to be a petition for adoption filed in the county court.
Okay, so the district court has a party coming in. There's been a decree entered in the case, and one parent is saying, we want to get your consent to allow an adoption to go forward, which will terminate this other parent's parental rights, right? So if the pleading that comes before the court says, we want this because mom has abandoned the child, isn't it appropriate for the court to hear evidence on that?
I have to concede, Your Honor, that the attorney that filed the consent should not have alleged abandonment in it. But I believe that there are enough other specific allegations in that consent motion, the jurisdictional ones that are necessary for the court to have granted its consent, and that it was an abuse of discretion under the Smith case for the court not to grant its consent because it didn't have the materials necessary to deny consent under the Smith case.
Because I think we can all agree that if one parent's asking essentially to allow a matter to proceed to an adoption phase, that the district court needs something, right, needs some evidence about why they should allow that to proceed. So if not abandonment, as your client brought in this case, aren't there other grounds that have to be discussed before a district court says, okay, I'll give up jurisdiction over the family and allow it to proceed to adoption and termination of parental rights?
Your Honor, I believe that it's concurrent jurisdiction with the county court to, it's not giving up jurisdiction, but it's allowing the county court to hear that adoption issue.
But it had the priority jurisdiction with regard to custody. It made the initial custody determination of the child, right?
Correct. But then it's the obligation of the county court to hear that abandonment issue and all those issues with respect to the adoption and issues that come into play with frustration and issues that come into play with you know, was mom doing this, and is she fit, and is she still using meth, and those things. And all of that could be heard on the adoption side, and should be heard on the adoption side. Now, if the county court determines that, no, there has not been abandonment, the district court still has jurisdiction over the children and over the custody of the children and any ongoing parenting time and custody and all those sorts of things. However, if the county court, whose exclusive jurisdiction it is to determine abandonment or determine adoption, determines that, yes, there is abandonment, then at that point, yes, the district court would lose their control, their jurisdiction over the child. But I think that that's the way the statute set it up, so that the county courts are making those determinations as far as termination of parental rights.
All right,
thank you so much.
Thank you both very much. Matter submitted and your excuse.